My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty. It's Ordner and Dusty today. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, YouTube.com/1080AM, The Fan. Party on, party people. And Rufio, you know what? You're sitting back here complaining. You're on the P1 YouTube Kings board. And he's like, why does it say Kufio? Well, it's because you've been up there for 8 months, pal. And the dry erase board got bumped by somebody. I have fixed it. You are back to Rufio. Yeah, the party animals in the comment section. Some people, huh? Some people. I fixed it, though. I fixed it.
Kufio sounds like something we're not supposed to say on the air.
Did you dump that?
No.
Dump that.
Quick. And it's one of those words that sounds like something really bad, but it's like, actually not.
It's like, you don't know. Oh, one time, I actually did that, though. You know Shea Serrano? You guys familiar with Shea Serrano?
Yeah,
Shea
I've seen
Serrano
his Twitter.
Came on.
X.
And Alex Crawford was our producer at the time. He's like, hey, how do you want to be introduced? But Serrano just sent him like this long thing where it was like, you know, the Sultan of San Antonio, I was just like, this fits. So I read it all and he's like, yeah, you just swore like three times in Spanish. I was like, thanks, bud.
Why would you let me do that?
I know like three swear words in Spanish and those weren't any of them.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you
so
what.
I've done it before.
What were they?
Let's say them right now together. You say the cuss words you know. I'll say the cuss words I know.
I'm not doing
we'll
that.
We'll see if they match up.
I'm not doing that. I'm not going there.
There's nothing not better than as like a high school kid going into Spanish class just to learn the cuss words. I used to do that.
You learned them in class?
Hold on. Your teacher taught you the swear
no,
word?
Oh. No. Like, but you can put some stuff together.
Dude, that's what the internet is for.
Google Translate
that's
is
what the hallways
no,
were for at my high school.
Earn it. No, you need to earn it. You need to go into the back of the book like a man and go and find it and then learn cuss words that you can say. And
I
mean, then
I took 4 years of Spanish in high school, a couple more in college, and then I had to wait to start working in restaurants before I learned all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. See, I also worked as an abatement,
They didn't teach you Latin when you were in high school?
You learned Latin?
Actually, it was Sanskrit.
Your books were in hieroglyphics?
Cuneiform.
That's crazy.
Even earlier form.
You were reading off of Rosetta Stone?
The rage in Russ' eyes that I just saw when I said that.
I thought that was a dead language. We're bringing back Latin.
I'm sorry. That was uncalled for. I apologize.
Man. What do you think I am, swag?
There we go. All is right in the world again. All right. What were we talking? Well, last segment we were talking about. No. No.
We were talking about cuss words that you were going to say on air.
Well, just now.
All right.
Just
back,
now. But
back
we were
to football.
Yes.
Words, cuss words never get said on football fields.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
Yeah.
Dang flabbit.
Yeah. Yeah.
God bless America.
My mother. My poor mother. I was like 4 and 5 years old coming home with a sailor's mouth.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, because my dad was a college football coach, and I would learn all the language. Learned it all.
I learned a lot of language on a college football field, and I was 18.
Yeah, I was 4.
Nothing is funnier than 4-year-olds cussing.
Yeah, not to their mothers.
As a teacher, it makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. Last segment, though, we were talking, though, about you were saying, can you dial up that pressure? Can the Young Bucks, can Tatum Tuioti capitalize on the push? Because one thing that has been absolutely exceptional throughout the first 5 games for Oregon, Derek Harmon, and look, Jamari Caldwell is not getting enough credit for how effective he has been because of the menace that Derek Harmon has been in the middle. Like, that guy,
he's unbelievable.
He was something else, and he has been a people mover, and he is a massive human being. Like, I think that people don't understand how large of a human he is.
Mixed with his lateral quickness, it's not just that he's strong, it's that he's able to move so quickly, yep. And he almost never takes a wrong step, which makes him even faster.
I believe this, watching it in real time, there was an issue against Boise State with him getting into the backfield too quickly.
He was over-penetrating. He wasn't stopping at the heel line.
And Genty is an exceptional running back who can make that one cut that quickly. It happened twice. One on the short yardage run where Genty scored on.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the backfield and almost took the handoff, and Genty made him miss, and there was nobody there. He walked in, mm-hmm. right? He's been that kind of good for Oregon. The young guys on the outside, though, when you have to pay attention on the interior of the defensive line, that's when the edges open up. And that's where, you know, the rumor of the Jordan Birch injury could play a big role, is because I think that you have seen teams, and when you collapse the middle of the pocket, the escape is where your ends, your edges, they thrive, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's where Tatum Tuioti, Mateo Uyunglele, Jordan Birch, you've got to thrive, because you mentioned this in that Will Howard is not the twitchy running quarterback, but he's a strong one. He is a strong one. And you have got to be able to cage him and force him into where I call it the good guys, right?
Right.
Outside, bad guys on the outside, because that's one thing Ohio State does too. They are really good receivers. They're nasty on the perimeter. They get nasty in that blocking game. And they do a really good job of, if they're hemmed up on the outside, they'll put hands on and create extra yards for Will Howard.
Yep.
That to me is a huge one, is how are they on the cage and on the edges when Will Howard has to escape? And can you force him enough to escape?
Yeah. What I'll be watching for, and I said it in the last segment that we had, where I think that Chip Kelly is going to try and put guys like Tuioti and Uyunglele, who have been fantastic this year, in difficult spots where they have to make a decision, and then he's got the counter off of it, right? A lot in that zone read, or really it's the modern version of a triple option, where if they take the QB, now you've got a slant across the middle, right, that Will Howard can throw to. And he's proven that he can throw almost at times better off platform than when he's standing in the pocket. The other thing that I will find as a great chess piece to this is, how does Oregon rush him? Because you've seen in a lot of situations, like Georgia against Jalen Milroe did a horrible job of this. They did not stay in their rush lanes. When you are facing a quarterback that can scramble and get out of the pocket, you have to rush, but you have to be smart about it. When you're going up against a pocket passer, you can take the inside move if it's there, if it presents itself, because you're going to be fast enough as a defensive end to get back outside and run down the quarterback if he tries to escape the pocket. With a guy like Howard, You are not going to be able to do that. And Georgia wasn't able to do that with Milroe, and you saw it kill them early in the first half. So when you have a defensive end like Mateo Uiagalelei or a rush from a Tatum Tuioti, are they going to be able to not take the bait? Because as an offensive lineman, there are times where I know that his first read is on the right side, and as a left tackle, I can give up that inside move because his second read is to the left. He, as a quarterback, he will turn, see that, and be able to escape outside of me, and I can almost pin my guy inside. I'm setting him up for failure where it looks like he's going to win. And will they be able to not fall for that bait? That is something that could be a big difference maker when you're looking at the explosive plays at the end of the game, because where are the big explosive plays going to come? They're going to come from when the defense breaks down, Will Howard is able to get outside of the pocket and give his wide receivers more time to beat that secondary.
503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further. Vancouver Ford, they treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online. VancouverFord.com. All right. Let's get to that Thursday night game last night.
We don't have to.
I mean,
we could just kind of we do. Could talk about college football all day. I mean, like,
it was Seahawks right lost. Here on the fan.
Yeah, I know, but like my Seahawks lost.
There's a couple aspects of that game that left me scratching my head though, including the blame game. Do you see the blame game that's being played right now?
A lot of finger pointing at everybody. It was you, not me.
Danny Dusty on the fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Thursday night football last night. A humdinger up in Seattle. The 49ers were backed into a corner, and they played like it. 36-24. They did not blow their double-digit lead, though. There was a moment where I was like, are they going to do it again?
They kind of tried to, but Seattle didn't really want to win that game, it felt like.
No, and look, San Francisco's defense made a play. Yeah, at the end, they kind of bookended that game with making plays when it mattered the most. Intercepting Geno on that opening drive, did down in the low red. Ah,
can't have it.
Can't have it. And with, then with them. When it looked like there was life for Seattle, because Seattle scored twice, they held the Niners to a few punts, and it was like, they're going to do this, man. The game was definitely coming down to the wire, and it was like every Niner fan had that pucker factor of, are we going to blow another double-digit lead? Is this how it happens? Geno gets picked off, though, in that fourth quarter, midway through, and then, you know, San Francisco, this is like what we were talking about early. Mm-hmm. What do you do once you get those turnovers, right? Create two for San Francisco. They turn it into 10 points, and when you win a game 36-24, pretty valuable points right there.
Well, especially when you take all that time off the clock as well, especially for the drive that Seattle had all the way to the red zone. But let's talk about that second interception, because right now it's the talk of Twitter. Is it Geno's fault? Is it DK's fault? You're a former wide receiver. When I look at that play, should DK have floated back? No, probably not.
I always err on the side of, a wide receiver should never be floating.
And that's fair. But is that ball, if he stays flat, isn't that ball behind him anyways? Unless he throttles down and box out the defender there, to me, it looks like that ball is misthrown. It's behind him. If you lead him whether he floats back there or not, I feel like DK can go and make that play. It feels to me like they're both wrong.
I see where DK, as I go back and I watched it again, there DK floats back because Geno should be throwing that up the hash. Safety on the other side of the field
right.
goes outside the hash. DK is going, hey, there's no help over the top. If I get back here,
I'm gone.
We're in for six. Mm-hmm. We got the lead. Or we have the opportunity to tie, right?
No, they would have had the lead. They were down by six.
Yeah, it was 23-17 at that point.
Yep, you're down by six.
So he's saying, he's like, we can get six here. I think, though, when you have those situations and you have those instances where Geno was in the pocket for a long time, that mental clock is ticking, right?
Right.
Especially because, look,
the O-line, especially in the guards,
Nick
are bad.
Nick Bosa is that dude. He was so good last night.
He was unbelievable. He had like 13 pressures.
He had 14 pressures.
Shortchanging Nick Bosa's greatness.
Well, you did.
He ate alive Stone Forsythe.
14 pressures, I believe. I was reading. I want to get this stat right here. The 14 pressures, I think, are the highest in a game.
Since probably TJ Watt.
Yeah, I don't know where I put it, but it's gone now and it's dead now. But 14 pressures is nothing to shake a stick at. That mental clock was going, and that is a quarterback and a wide receiver where you got to be on the same page in those critical situations. I think that's just one that you chalk up to. S happens. Sometimes the other team makes a good play, but
right, 100%.
DK was open. Yeah. And Geno had time. He's got to see that safety is outside the hash. Throw that thing.
Right. The other thing, too, that I want to say about this game, if you're, you know, on Twitter right now, blaming DK, blaming Geno, the interception, that's why you lost. That's not why you lost. Whenever you had a critical moment, it felt like there was a big mistake. DK scores a touchdown, right? But you get a penalty because you have two men in motion. You aren't hurrying up to the football when you need to be on the drive at the end of the first half.
I will say
this. Three instead of six.
Seattle, they are so much more effective and comfortable when they're in a no huddle.
It's almost like they want to be the 2010 Ducks. Like they should be going up tempo, fast, move. It makes sense. Grubb was a faster coordinator at UW. Now they weren't running a blur offense, but when they were moving fast and teams aren't able to switch personnels, it works best.
It was jaw-dropping how effective their no-huddle offense is. So, I don't know. We need to see more of it because Geno looks far more in rhythm. It also allows you to, if you get that personnel grouping where you have that mismatch, just attack it, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's when you see it. But I think we're going to see Seattle pushing that tempo a little bit more. Mike McDonald, a guy who you usually want to protect your defense, adjustment there because your defense will inherently be on the field longer because it won't work every single drive and won't work all the time. But, boy, Geno looks like a different quarterback. That's a tough loss for the Seattle Seahawks. Huge win for the Niners, though.
Seattle went from 3-0 to 3-3 in the span of 11 days.
Yeah.
You went from first place in your division to, if the Cardinals win, you're going to be in third.
Yeah.
In 11 days. And I think the biggest issue right now is whether it's because they're falling behind early or they're just not getting touches. Kenneth Walker, this is the most touches that he's had in a game. He had 32 yards.
Yeah.
Last week, he had 5 carries, I believe. Like, you're not running the football enough in my eyes, or in this game, you're not running it effectively enough. And it's because of the interior offensive line play. Stone Forsythe had a rough game. Those guards have been giving up pressures and have been giving up tackles for losses all year long.
Yep. You know what else was weird in that? The NFL pointing the finger at Amazon.
Yeah, the video replay.
Yeah, the punt. That what?
It, how is that possible?
It was touched, and then the replay analyst, I forget who it was, who's the replay guy, he pops on there and goes, yeah, just got done talking to the replay official in Jersey.
They don't have that video.
They have the broadcast, but they don't have that video that we played. It's like, why?
It's right why not? There. Why not just wait and be like, Amazon, show me what you got?
Yeah, but, I mean, that would have been, this that would have turned that game into a no-doubter.
Right, but again, it's more and more Seattle mistakes.
Yeah.
Blocking a guy into your punt returner.
Not good.
The holding call on your backup tight end when DK gets an easy first down. You know? A holding call after you get a first down on a throw to JSN, and now it's first and 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's those types of little things right now that are holding this Seattle Seahawks team back from being, right now, they don't feel like a playoff team. If they clean up those little mistakes, maybe they are. They got to figure out a way to stop the run game when Byron Murphy's not in. When Murphy isn't in and you're not at full strength on that D-line, mm-hmm. and they do have injuries, to be fair. They do have injuries. But right now, when you don't have your starting four D-linemen in, they really, really struggle against the run.
All right. Let's get to our worst day on the web. We still have worst days on the web.
Was it the Seahawks?
No. No, believe it or not, there is worse. There is worse.
Ooh.
After Rust with SportsCenter.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
All right, we can file this one under making the police officer's job very easily. Portland police officers conducted a suspected drug bust.
No.
Pulled over a car, and they said had reasonable cause to search the vehicle. And in the vehicle, not only did they find a handgun that was loaded, they found a bag in this vehicle.
Okay.
It said, the bag said, in very big letters.
In Sharpie?
No. No, it was printed. Somebody had made this bag.
Ooh, laminated.
It said laminated. It was not laminated.
Oh, I thought it was like a card thing.
No, it was a bag. It looks like a burlap sack with, I'm going to go with screen printed on it.
Okay.
Definitely not a bag full of drugs.
Shut up. Yes. 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 I love this criminal.
Yes.
In the bag labeled definitely not a bag full of drugs.
Nothing to see here.
Police officers found, in fact, what I count as 13 bags of drugs in the bag that says definitely not a bag full of drugs. In addition to the 13 bags of drugs they found.
Yes.
They found also several other bags that can be used to fill with drugs.
Yeah, so they're definitely getting the distribution or the intent to distribute here.
Two scales and a stack of $100 bills.
Why weren't those in the bag that said definitely not drugs? Well, that would be the smarter.
They were.
I thought you said they found those around.
No, this was all in the bag.
They're all in the bag. This is beautiful.
It's a large bag.
How could the cops have ever have figured out to look in the bag that says definitely not
drugs? Stupid or something.
You know what they're going to say? I don't think it's in this.
They're like, we checked everything but that bag that says definitely not drugs at the suspected drug dealers.
I feel like the officer conducting the search in the car went, guys, I think we got something here.
I want that call to have to be public record.
What do you?
We should get to hear that.
I sincerely wish one of those cops was like, nope, it's not going to be in here. This one says clearly, definitely not a bag full of drugs.
I want to see that body cam footage. I'm just like, should we look at the one that says
definitely not drugs? I'm hoping the officer pulled that bag That was definitely not a bag full of drugs. I hope he pulled it out, and as the guy's sitting there outside of his vehicle is like, what's in here? He's like, not drugs.
Definitely not drugs.
Definitely not drugs.
The criminal's like, darn it, we got the only illiterate cop in all of Oregon. Why didn't you read the sign? It says it's not drugs. It can't be.
Yeah. I hope the other side of this says, not my bag. He's like, that's not mine. I've never seen that before in my life.
I actually stole this car. Get me for stealing the car. That's not my bag.
I was under the impression there were no drugs in that bag, officer. It clearly says on the bag, there's definitely not it's not a bag full of drugs.
How did those get there?
Yeah.
This was my bowling bag.
A surprise to nobody, the driver and passenger were arrested and faced several charges of possession of drugs, intent to distribute. I think these guys are in trouble.
I would assume so. Yeah. I love dumb criminals.
Mm.
It's like my favorite thing.
I don't know, though. It's pretty smart. We've seen dumber.
And they would have gotten away for it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling cops.
Yeah, this is Scooby-Doo. Yeah, and they brought in the drug-sniffing dog, and he's like, ah, if it wasn't for these cops that can read,
the cops
we'd have got away with it.
The cops are like, I don't know, I think the dog might be malfunctioning. Yeah. He's sniffing the bag and alerting us to the one that says there's no drugs here.
I don't think in Scooby-Doo they needed the dog's help finding the drugs.
I don't know that they ever found
it. I think Shaggy had that covered.
Zoinks.
That's why he was always so hungry. Of course.
It smells like weed in here, Scoob.
Raw Raggy.
They should bring that show back, but have a more adult spin on it.
I think it had an adult spin on it then.
They did. There was a whole series on Velma. Which was meant for, like,
the HBO a little bit older, Max
yes,
one?
Yeah,
oh.
With a bit more mature themes.
Hmm. All right.
Was she sniffing out drugs?
Was it? Fred and Daphne. Like, this is something that you never caught on as a kid, but we started rewatching all this stuff. Fred and Daphne would always just sneak away.
Yeah.
And they'd be gone for like most of the show, and it's like they just pop back up, and it's like. I'm just surprised, like, the artist didn't, like, have Fred's ascot off kilter sometimes. Like, he should have been always, like, coming back and, like, readjusting his ascot.
A little lipstick on the cheek.
Yeah.
I saw a meme the other day. It said, all right, guys, you go out there in the haunted amusement park. Daphne and I are going to go check out the bedroom.
Yeah. It's,
well, Velma usually right? got thrown in with them as well.
No, Velma was on her own. Like, it was, like, Scooby and Shaggy
it's
together.
50-50.
And then she'd always lose her glasses.
And then Velma was by herself. Well, yeah, because they walked in on Fred and Daphne, and Fred's like, you saw nothing. You're blind, Velma. You saw nothing here.
As someone who needs glasses also, no one's eyesight is that bad.
I'll get it in.
Is that Fred?
Yeah, no. Fred is a Fred. Healthy, active male.
A healthy, active male.
Shannon Shaw was having sex.
That is an atrocity.
Didn't sound like it.
Man. All right. Note to all you criminals out there. If you're going to have a bag full of drugs, label it something other than definitely not a bag full of drugs.
Possibly drugs.
Or do it.
Who could have seen that one coming?
Because if you're going to get caught, at least let us have a laugh. Huh?
Do the same thing as most of my buddies do on their phone. Second calculator. Your girlfriend will never look in there.
Nobody ever wants to know where what's in the second calculator. Hard math.
It's a scientific calculator.
It's where I keep my hypotenuse.
This helps me with my graphing issues.
You remember how in
Algebra
2, our teacher said there will be some time where I need to calculate the shadow of a flagpole to indicate the time? That's what I use my second calculator for. Doesn't your phone have the time on it, sweetheart? I'm a man of principle. And I go by the shadows, damn it.
Why does your second calculator have a password to get into it?
Based on, you know, science.
Tinder.
Well, the second calculator was long before Tinder.
Oh, man. All right.
I was way off.
So we have a Vancouver Ford texter that says, second favorite Cops episode was when a stone guy had a J behind his ear during a traffic stop. What is your favorite episode of Cops?
Is there someone famous who gets arrested on Cops that beats that?
No. My favorite one, my favorite episode of Cops was like, it was one of the early episodes. And because my dad coached at Lewis and Clark College. And the episode of Cops was, I saw like four people getting arrested in Pacific Lutheran University sweatshirts.
You're like,
and I was
yes.
Like, it was like, Tacoma. Tacoma.
Tacoma.
That's where the OG episodes were all filmed.
They were all in Tacoma. Tacoma?
Yeah, they were all in Tacoma.
Guess what? If they wanted to
being like, hey, I know that.
Wasn't it a bunch of Multnomah County, though, too, because of old Sheriff John Bunnell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, if they wanted to revive it, Tacoma would be a good place to start.
Didn't the creator, like one of the creators of Cops, wasn't he like shoved off a cliff here in Oregon?
Was it Sheriff John Bunnell?
No, I don't think so. I think he was like a...
Are we killing people again?
All right. Yeah. Did we kill a second?
No, I feel confident in this one. It was a super sad story. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to do the fact checking here.
I'm feverishly Googling.
Okay.
Yep. Maybe that's not how you say
it. Yep, here we go. 2003, Paul Stoyanovich, the creator and pioneer of the Pioneer Police reality series Cops, died March 15th after falling 300 feet from a cliff into the ocean in Oregon.
Eesh.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, those cliffs are really, really, really dangerous.
Is it northern coast? Southern coast?
That's why I'm afraid of heights.
He has an accident. He accidentally fell off a cliff on the Oregon coast while posing for a photograph with his fiancée.
Oh.
Bet you it's one of those viewpoints on 101 as you're like,
he
south
slipped
of
on a wet tree root and fell 300 feet to the rocks in the ocean below.
This is why I don't do heights. Stay far, far away from heights.
Man. Yeah, that's scary to me, man.
I don't go near the ledge on the second floor in Hawkinson.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Not doing it.
The second floor?
It's a two-floor high school.
Oh.
There's a bottom level. Ooh. That's the 100s. There's a top level, 200s.
I didn't need to know that. It Manzanita, Rust.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Manzanita, 2003. Sad. Very sad.
Eesh.
All right. Well, I really brought that segment down. I'm sorry, guys.
We'll bring it back. Vancouver Ford text line. First favorite episode was when someone flagged down a cop because someone sold them nuts instead of crack.
I guess that's a good one to take number one.
That would
one.
Be a good one. Hey, we got a shady businessman down here. He told me he was selling me some crack. It's a bag of nuts.
Which then does the cop reply, right, was sir. It D's nuts?
All right, sir, why don't you nuts. Come over here and we're going to put you in the back of this car. We'll find the bad guy.
Sit in the back of here and
we're
point him out to
us. Another cop car. We got to arrest a crack dealer who's selling nuts out here.
It's like the early on in A Few Good Men when they arrest Tom Cruise's, or they're trying Tom Cruise's client for buying a dime bag of oregano. And he says basically it's not illegal to be stupid.
Yeah, I know a guy.
It's an office episode.
I know
too.
A guy from college who said, I kid you not, his summer job was selling literal weeds from a ditch to tourists because he was Hawaiian who were looking for weed. He goes, there's like this plant. It smells like weed, looks like weed. Like that's what we would do is we would just like grind it up and just sell it to tourists. He's like, they weren't getting hurt. They weren't getting high.
Yeah. What he said was, what are you going to charge him with? Possession of a condiment?
Yeah. It was like literally the, some, like, he's like, it's a ditch weed. Like, it's like just gross. And
that's awesome.
Just sell it to the tourists. What a racket. What a racket, bud.
Well, I know people in Hawaii right now.
Well, they need to check themselves.
I don't think they're going to be buying, but you never know.
All right. Well, be on high alert.
I'll let them know.
All right. Let's get back to football. It's a football Friday. We got some great games in the world of college football outside of Oregon and Ohio State. Where does the Red River Rivalry sit? Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right. Lighting each other's eyes.
Hi.
Rufio brings up a good point. Can we please go back to talking about dumb criminals now and how Ortner has avoided being on reality TV?
I have not done any criminal activity recently.
Well, no, I'm not talking about like being on Cops or anything like that. I want to see you on a dating show. I want to see you go on Love is Blind or...
No.
What's the other one where...
I'd do The Bachelorette.
No, I think you are like, you're Netflix. You're not ABC ready, Pally. You are.
I do one of those shows.
You are like The Cube or Love is Blind territory.
What about The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives? Can I get on that train?
No.
You got sister wives?
No. I just like, I'm intrigued by what they're offering.
See, I think we need like to get Ortner on like the challenge on MTV.
You were born like 20 years too late.
Yeah, I miss it.
Because you would have been Road Rules real world material. I believe that in my bones.
What's the difference between Road Rules and normal?
An RV and a house.
I'd hate that. I would not do well in an RV. I would get voted out so fast on purpose.
No, I think you would have embraced it.
I don't want to share a toilet.
You would have been like, I'll drive.
Let me drive the boat. No, I want no part of that. I think it would be funny to see me on The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Yeah. I had a roommate in college who dropped one of the best real world application videos of all time. He said, I think I'd be great for the real world because I'm real and I live in the world.
Hey, he understood the assignment.
I was like, you know what? That might actually work.
See,
like that may be like, yeah, we gotta have this guy.
That's fantastic. We need this guy.
That was only part of his
bit
video that he made. Yeah, to send in. It was something. He didn't hear back. I also had a buddy, Fear Factor, tried out for Fear Factor.
I wouldn't do that.
Now, here's the problem. He sent his Survivor tape to Fear Factor and his Fear Factor tape to Survivor.
How bad does this guy want to be on reality TV?
It's a different one. Different guy.
Dude, because see here, here's the thing. Like, I've never sent anything in. I also don't think I'd do well on a show like Love is Blind because I'd be there and they'd be like, are you in love with me now? And be like, I have no idea if you're hot or not. I'm not intrigued yet.
This is why I want to see you making on Love is Blind.
I'm not making a decision for the rest of my life based on like, would I be cool hanging out with you? Like, I don't know that that's where I want to go down on this.
Oh, man. I need it.
Because, like, what would be the worst thing that would happen? You go out there and you get the girl that's like, I look like Megan Fox. And I'm over here like, I look like The Rock. And then we both walk out and we're both disappointed. Like, that would be horrible.
Well, you're not supposed to say who you look like. And you don't look like The Rock.
That's what the one lady said. That's how crazy it was. She's like, I look like Megan Fox. No, you don't.
And that guy picked her, and he saw her and was like,
right. There's nothing worse than that face. As someone who's gone on a few blind dates, there's nothing worse than when either you make that face,
yeah,
or the one that really hurts is when you see them make that face. And I think I'm just self enough aware that I would be able to see them make that face because I've done it before.
Yeah, but that would be riveting television as you do the big reveal. And you see her for the first time, and you see her face, and you just turn around, walk the other way, and be like, yeah, this ain't gonna work. I'm out. I'm out.
I'm out. I'm not doing
this. And
they're
like, did you think she was not pretty? And you're like, no, I thought she was hot. I saw the face, though. She wasn't picking up what I'm putting down.
She's not interested. I would purposely sabotage it, too. Like, if I had to go out on a date, I'd be like, you know what? I lied. I actually don't want to have a family.
This is exactly why you need to be on Love is Blind.
No! All right. No, it's all bad. It wouldn't go well. I had a teammate that was on, what's the one where, like, the Alexa thing tells you what you have to do? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. It's like a bunch of the cube?
No. There's, like, an Alexa. Too hot to handle.
Too hot to... You had a buddy on Too Hot to Handle.
No, don't call him my buddy.
That's your bad. Best friend was on Too Hot to Handle.
A defensive end that I played with was on Too Hot to Handle. If you've seen the second season, he's the one that he's like trying to flirt with the girl, and then he goes to like lean her down to give her the big like kiss, and he smacks her head on like a chair.
Rico Suave, huh?
Dude, it was awesome. He looked like such an idiot.
Are you sure this wasn't you?
No, it wasn't me. I don't suck. Well... I suck less than he does. He's way worse than me. He's the guy that he's like on the date and the big old bug lands right on his forehead.
Don't worry, I'm on it.
Don't clip that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to clip that.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I gotta wait a minute for the logger to catch up.
Big weekend in college football. Where does the Red River rivalry shake out in the hierarchy of great games? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com